And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is interference with human consciousness. And I'm going through some information in regards to this Aurora shooting. That, in fact, the events in Colorado were compared in a Charlotte Observer article to Columbine, where, by the way, the shooters were not only on psych drugs, but they had been raped in a juvenile detention center, according to their families, who are trying to get the information out about that, as we're hearing about, you know, how the pedophiles are everywhere, that there are young people. Imagine what that does to a young person. Apparently it turns them into a killer, especially after they're put on psych drugs. The post 9/11 anthrax mailings were also mentioned in this article in the Charlotte Observer. Now, of course, it's actually been admitted to that those anthrax specimens came from a government bioweapons lab. So isn't it interesting that they're talking about taking away guns, but when anthrax is released out of a bioweapons lab, they don't talk about shutting down the bioweapons lab. No, no, no. Okay, Virginia Tech, that's another example of an obvious Manchurian candidate. The Tucson shootings, which there's actually a lot of question as to, you know, what actually even happened there. I don't have time to get into all that. But, you know, it's funny how this, I forget his name, the guy who allegedly did the Tucson shootings, and including allegedly shooting Gabby Gifford in the head, you know, they show his bizarre photo on television and then he disappears and we never hear from him again. So who knows what they're actually doing with him, continuing the experiment or whatever. Okay. Of course, the Oklahoma City bombing and 9/11 have been widely exposed as false flag operations. So this is what we're talking about here, folks, false flag operations, where our governments are doing terrible things in order to cause stress, trauma. Of course, there's that old disaster capitalism thing, especially with 9/11. You know, they're rebuilding that area of Manhattan now. And good old Larry Silverstein, a Zionist Jew, got I forget how many billions of dollars when he pulled Building 7. We don't have time to get into that. But the bottom line is, you all have to know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir on this network, but your families, I mean, try to get through to them. I know it's difficult. My own family doesn't listen to me. But it's just amazing. How obvious can it be that these things are being done intentionally? We are paying for these psyops to cause us to have a global surveillance state where the psychopaths create a hell on earth, take away all of our liberties and our guns and steal everything we have, basically. And people of conscience who stand up and speak the truth, well, we'll see how fast they start to be called lone wolves. Put on Obama's kill list and taken out with a drone. In fact, somebody sent me an article that Mayor Bloomberg in New York City, who is now in his third term as mayor, which is totally illegal. He basically passed a law that allowed him to run again for a third term when he wasn't supposed to have more than two terms. I mean, what these people are doing, it's just mind-boggling. But he has come out publicly and said that the police should go on strike if nothing is done to take guns away from people. Okay? And my answer to that is, yeah, police, go on strike. Because here where I live in North Carolina, you're much more likely to be killed by a police officer than you are by any quote-unquote criminal. Or tased, or tear gassed, or raped. The policemen are the ones doing that. Okay? So, yeah, let these people go on vacation. Let them go on strike, no problem. We'll save lots of money. And then the people can defend themselves because the police officers are becoming criminals, obviously. Now, a couple other more very obvious coincidences in relation to this false flag in Colorado was the fact that there was a trailer of a movie entitled Gangster Squad, which shows a gangland massacre in a crowded theater. which was supposed to be shown before the Batman Dark Rises or whatever the heck the name was. It was supposed to be shown before that movie. So interesting that in that Gangster Squad movie, there was actually, you know, a part of the movie where they're showing that there is a, you know, mass killing by this gang using machine guns in a theater. You know, that's quite an interesting coincidence. Okay. Then we have the booby-trapped apartment. Okay, let's figure this out here. Now, this guy who's getting his PhD in neuroscience somehow develops the ability to booby-trap his entire apartment with, I think they said, 60 bombs. Now, of course, we don't know if the police that went through the window were bringing bombs in with them so they could carry them back out and basically explode them as a little sideshow for the media, or if the guy actually had booby-trapped his apartment. But, of course, one of the main things you have to ask yourself is, if he wanted somebody to go in the apartment for the carnage to continue, then why did he tell the police that his apartment was booby-trapped? Does that even make sense for a schizo person? I don't think so. That's kind of strange, okay? And that's very obvious to me as well. Okay, there's so many things I have to bring up in regards to this obvious false flag. Now, while they were showing on, you know, the various networks, CNN, HLN, Fox News, you know, they're showing all this crap about the Colorado shooting 24/7, because another thing that it accomplishes is it causes terror in people, it causes severe trauma in people, and these monsters, they are psychic vampires. They live off the adrenochrome, which is oxidized epinephrine, that occurs when somebody is severely traumatized. They actually eat that stuff up psychically, okay? But, once again, getting back to the alleged booby-trapped apartment, while they were showing the cops crawling through the window, and of course we don't know what was going on inside the apartment because nobody took any videos in there, they basically just came out with their bombs and exploded them. But while this coverage was occurring, on another station, the movie Batman Begins was being played. And this was very interesting. I had never seen this Batman Begins movie. Apparently it's part of the trilogy of whoever it is that's coming out with these movies. But in Batman Begins, the main theme of the movie is how a psychotropic drug was put in the water supply of Gotham City. Of course, Gotham City basically standing for New York City. And then the psychotropic drug in the water was hit with a microwave weapon to create an aerosolized hallucinogen to increase fear. A mind control weapon designed to cause mass fear and violence. I mean, come on. They're basically showing us the kinds of things they're doing in the movies. This happens all the time. It's called predictive programming, where the media tells you what's coming, so when it does, you know, you won't resist because it's already in your subconscious. So there's lots of aspects to that, because another thing, as I'm monitoring the channels on television where there's more truth, you know, in the movies and different documentaries and such than there is on the mainstream media, by coincidence, I just happened to see last night on Free Speech TV a documentary that was done on scopolamine. Now, I learned about scopolamine in medical school. It's occasionally used in anesthesia. But amazingly, as it turns out, they call it the world's scariest drug. It's also called Burundanga, and it's actually grown in Bogota, Colombia, in the wild. And this drug actually causes you to lose free will, although you look okay. So, and actually one of the ways it's given is aerosolized. It can be basically blown in your face. And unlike rabies, which is going to make you go into a cannibalistic behavior and start eating the face off somebody or eat your own dog or whatever, this drug actually causes you to lose your free will. But you look okay. In other words, there's no obvious thing going on with you. You're walking around just like everything's okay. One of the women interviewed in the documentary had actually been given this drug without her knowledge. And there were two men that actually went into her apartment with her, told her to give them all her money, access to her, you know, bank account, all of her electronics and all this stuff. And not only did she agree to do it, but she helped them carry it down to their car past the person that was monitoring the door, the doorman. And when she came out of it later, she asked the doorman, "Why did you let me do this?" And the doorman said, "Because you told me to." And that was because the drug actually caused her to do whatever they told her. I'm telling you, folks, they got so many ways to mess with our minds. Okay, there's the music again. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is interference with human consciousness. Don't have any idea what's going on with that music speeding up and slowing down, but let me carry on. Okay, so I'm talking about all these different ways that they're messing with our minds. Of course, electronic weapons is another technique. I've done shows on the silent sound frequencies that are coming out of your HDTV. Of course, we have EMF frequencies. We have all kinds of frequencies being used in the oceans that are even destroying the sonar of the whales and the dolphins and such. That's why they're all beaching themselves. These psychopaths are destroying everything that matters. And it is so big and so heinous. I know it seems overwhelming, but let me just reassure you that there are techniques to reverse all the damage that they've done. Of course, before we can reverse the damage, we have to stop the damage. And that's why I continue to tell you what's ailing America and the world, to eventually get you to realize that you're going to have to do something if you want to have any type of life or even continue on as a species. Because these monsters that are controlling the world, their lack of conscience is just, it's unbelievable to the extent of which it is. And, you know, I love it when these traitors in the District of Criminals go on C-SPAN. They love to pat themselves on the back, okay, and talk about all these things, you know, pretending that they give a crap because, of course, they're funding all of these different Manchurian candidate production experiments and things of that nature. But especially amazing was on Tuesday, July 24th, U.S. Senate members in Congress, only the ones from Colorado, they had a special little meeting at night that was broadcast on C-SPAN. And I loved it when Senator Mark Udall, a Democrat from Colorado, Democratic senator, revealed that in Roman mythology, Aurora is the goddess of dawn, who renews herself each morning. Now, isn't that a strange thing for him to bring up? Because, of course, we know that these psychopaths are into all kinds of occult technology, occult history, things of that nature. So I just thought that was kind of revealing as to why Aurora was chosen for this event, because the goddess of dawn was watching, you know, right before dawn as this Manchurian candidate shooter was assassinating people. So that was kind of obvious. And he also mentioned, of course, that after the shooting, chaos and pain lingered over the city of Aurora. Well, that's the whole order out of chaos thing. That's how it works. And he also mentioned how the citizens donated blood in record numbers. Now, that's very interesting as well. because these people are basically vampires. They're psychic vampires, but they also love that blood bank. Got to keep it stocked. And I'm going to do a whole show on what's going on with the blood at some point as well. The next day, on July 25th, and you can't make this stuff up, the House brought up Resolution 134 to condemn the heinous atrocities in Aurora, Colorado. Now, talk about a wastage of time. They have to bring up a resolution to say that this was a bad thing. What is the point of that? What does that accomplish? Absolutely nothing. And, of course, they're all talking about evil and pretending that they have no clue why this is happening. And many of them are even quoting scriptures and stuff. And it's enough to make you want to throw up, seriously. Because we know that these people are monsters themselves or monster enablers. And basically, it's the same thing. Okay. So now I want to get to something called MK Ultra. And MK Ultra is a type of mind control. It's a little bit different than Manchurian candidates. According to my research, Manchurian candidates involve more of hypnosis of people. That's why I always warn people, be very careful of hypnosis, because if you don't know who's hypnotizing you, you don't know what they're implanting in your brain. So I would stay away from hypnosis if I was you. But very interesting, there's actually a document on Rumor Mill News that somebody sent me in regards to an Admiral Gunther K. Rusbacher, who was a 30-year-plus veteran of the CIA and the Office of Naval Intelligence. And they post what they claim is an official Air Force document showing that this Gunther Rusbacher is a captain in the United States Navy. And the article is in regards to how the subjects are chosen. Now, I haven't had time to vet this, but it makes perfect sense to me, so that's why I'm mentioning it to you. How the subjects are chosen. A present group of our people from the intelligence community, or a preset group, sorry, of our people from the intelligence community, canvasses the county hospitals and immigration centers in order to find viable candidates. We locate and select people who have no close family or friends. Once they have been selected, they are put under heavy level one hypnosis. At this time, a clear and definitive pattern of their usefulness is determined by our psychiatrists and field officers. If the candidate possesses a relatively high IQ, he will be filled in a category file called call file. Now, this man in Colorado was seeing a psychiatrist, so who knows what she was doing to him. Did she start the hypnosis process? Levels 1 and 2. If the tested applicant has more than 120 IQ, a recall command and an accompanying trigger word will be written into his personality during the level 1 hypnosis session. This trigger will activate his recall program when we are ready for him. We then systematically do a background search and create a file for future reference. If there are no relatives to speak of, the subject will be recalled and taken to a location of our choice. Further tests for vulnerability will be conducted at this location. If he passes the test, he is then brought to level 2 hypnosis, where specific instructions are written, placed through hypnotic commands and suggestions, into his personality, and he's given diverse small orders. So basically, he's describing how they pick their marks and then what they do in order to get them ready to do the job. Makes perfect sense to me. And if you haven't seen the movie Manchurian Candidate, you really need to see that. The old version is the best one, because once again, they're showing us in the movies what they're doing. And this has been something that the psychopaths have been working on for some time, how to control our minds. So they create these Manchurian candidates that, you know, through hypnosis, who know if they're, you know, not giving them a little glass of scopolamine as well. and then they sent him out to do whatever they're told to do. But a very disturbing program that's actually even above this Manchurian Candidate production is MK Ultra. And MK Ultra is a situation where, in fact, they've been doing various things over time in order to create things like sex slaves and all kinds of things. There's an excellent book called Transformation of America, written by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, which you might want to check out. She talks about how she went through this programming, which is much, much worse than just being hypnotized. We're talking the most traumatic abuse, torture, being put in electric cages. I mean, just to even read this stuff, it's enough to make you get sick. Seriously, and I'm pretty tough. So basically, that's another little program that our government has been working on. And how do I know that's true? Well, in my gigantic library, I happen to have an actual transcript of the joint hearing before the Select Committee on Intelligence and the Subcommittee on Health and Scientific Research of the Committee on Human Resources, United States Senate, dated August 3rd, 1977. The title is Project MKUltra, the CIA's Program of Research in Behavioral Modification. And on page 67 of this book, they actually list some of the programs that they've investigated, including Project Chatter, which was a Navy program that began in the fall of 1947. And basically they used truth drugs in interrogations and in recruitment of agents. It also included laboratory experiments on animals and human subjects. Oh my God, I didn't even see this before. Using scopolamine, here it is, page 67, wow. And mescaline and other things. Okay. So I have all kinds of experiences like this. It's like these little coincidences that aren't coincidences. It's truly amazing. Okay, there it is. So that was part of Project Chatter. Now, like I said, we're going back to 1947. The next satanic project that they mention is Project Bluebird-Artichoke, which is the earliest of the CIA's major programs involving the use of chemical and biological agents. Project Bluebird was approved by the director in 1950. Its objectives were discovering means of conditioning personnel to prevent unauthorized extraction of information from them by known means, investigating the possibility of control of an individual by application of special interrogation techniques, memory enhancement, and establishing defensive means for preventing hostile control of the agency. So this is one of the things that's so amazing to me, is that people go to work for these agencies and they don't even realize that their brains are being messed with as well. Because if you're high level within the CIA, they can't allow you to know what's happening. Like, in other words, if you're going to, you know, get out of the CIA, they're going to want to activate Project Bluebird. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Are you there, caller?
I'm just listening.
Okay. All right, very good. So please mute your phone. Okay, so let me get to the next project that's mentioned in this transcript from Congress. MK Naomi was another major CIA program in this area. In 1967, the CIA summarized the purposes of MK Naomi to provide for a covert support base to meet clandestine operational requirements, to stockpile severely incapacitating and legal materials for use of TSD, Technical Services Division, to maintain operational readiness, unique for the dissemination of biological and chemical materials, to provide for the required surveillance testing, upgrading and evaluation of materials and items in order to assure absence of defects and complete predictability of results to be expected under operational conditions, which is a lot of mumbo-jumbo. Basically, what they're telling you is that they're looking for ways to control people. And then the next one they mention is MKUltra, the principal CIA program involving the research and development of chemical and biological agents. It was concerned with the research and development of chemical, biological, and radiological materials capable of employment in clandestine operations to control human behavior. Radiological, okay, well, you know, magnetic resonance is in the radiology department. I don't know. Interestingly, in January 1973, MKUltra records were destroyed by Technical Services Division personnel acting on the verbal orders of Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, Zionist Jew, chief of TSD. Dr. Gottlieb has testified, and former Director Helms has confirmed, that in ordering the records destroyed, Dr. Gottlieb was carrying out the verbal order of then DCI Helms. Okay? So they're trying to cover their tracks, and this is how it works. Then they go on and they discuss another one, MK Delta. Then they talk about testing of LSD by the Army. There's so much information in this transcribed hearing in front of Congress. It's, let's see, 171 pages, okay? And, basically this is how Congress operates. You see, they have hearings in Congress. They pretend that they're, you know, protecting the public and they're making sure that all these agencies and their agents are under control. And in fact, they're basically just, you know, laughing it up after the hearing, I'm sure. Oh yeah, we're actually telling these idiots what we're doing. And then they do nothing to change anything. They supposedly stopped the MK Ultra project, but I can assure you that it just now has a new name, and we don't know what the new name is. And, oh, by the way, 1977 was a very busy year for these traitors. Another transcript that I have in front of me is another hearing before the Subcommittee on Health and Scientific Research. This one is from March and May of 1977. And it's entitled Biological Testing Involving Human Subjects by the Department of Defense. And this would be another whole thing that I would have to cover in another show. I don't have time to get into this. But they've got all kinds of information in here where they're telling us what they're doing. And one of the most amazing studies that they have on page 182, they actually call it Project White Coat. Which basically was a study. They used Seventh-day Adventist people that had gone into the military because, of course, Seventh-day Adventists don't get vaccinated, and they wanted, like, a control group so that they could assault them with biological weapons. And that's what's really disgusting, is that these young people who are going into the service and believing that they're protecting their country, they're actually offering themselves up as lab rats and having severe harm done to them. Oh, by the way, I have all kinds of books in my library about mind control. One of the most important is, well, I mentioned Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, but I'm just warning you, that book will make you physically ill to read what they did to this woman and her daughter. And I'm sure that my son is going through that right now, so that's a very hard thing for me to wake up to every day. But another very important book is entitled The Mind Manipulators, a nonfiction account by Alan W. S-C-H-E-F-L-I-N and Edward M. Upton, Jr., And on the back of this book, it has a quote from Aldous Huxley. We have had religious revolutions, we've had political, industrial, economic, and nationalistic revolutions. All of them, as our descendants will discover, were but ripples in an ocean of conservatism, trivial by comparison with the psychological revolution towards which we are so rapidly moving. That will really be a revolution. When it is over, the human race will give no further trouble. You see, they are actually causing our minds to be wiped. Mind wiped. Okay, here's another one. The search for the Manchurian Candidate, the CIA and Mind Control by John Marks. Here's another book. Physical Control of the Mind, Jose Delgado, M.D. This monster is one of the main medical minions who has been playing around with the mind. He's also very highly involved in the book The Biology of Aggression, which is a NATO book where it talks about all the different things they're doing to make people more aggressive, remove their aggression, whatever, you know, suits their purposes. But this book, The Control, Physical Control of the Mind, it's just mind-boggling that this monster actually, you know, could conceive of doing experiments like this. And it shows actual photos of what they did to the monkeys and stuff. I mean, it's really hard. I have trouble looking at a lot of that stuff. And here's another book. Military Mind Control, Colin A. Ross, M.D., A Story of Trauma and Recovery. And what it says on the back of this book is Military Mind Control provides a single case history written by Dr. Ross about a woman that was treated in his private practice, which he calls Therese, who is a survivor of childhood trauma that included parental incest, ritual abuse, and military mind control. So you see, they look for those kinds of people, the ones that have already been traumatized from a very young age, like my son Joey, and then they use them to further traumatize them, and those are the kind of people they use for MK Ultra type stuff. As I said, the Manchurian Candidate stuff is more relating to hypnosis and other things. Okay. Caller, I'm getting all kinds of feedback. I wish you would mute yourself. Anyways, because I can't hear when the music comes on either. Okay. Here we have another email I received. And this is an email in regards to similarities between Colorado and what happened at the Port Arthur Massacre on the 28th of April in 1996. This is in Australia. The intended target at Port Arthur were two coachloads of American senior citizens on a ski holiday. But things went wrong, and the target moved to what had been considered a safe house, and Australia lost 7 intelligence operatives. When the supposed lone nut gunman was in court being sentenced on the 19th, 20th, and 22nd of November in 1996, where was President Bill Clinton? Okay. I gotta lose this caller. This is making too much noise. Okay, where was President Bill Clinton? He was addressing the Australian Federal Parliament in Canberra. Bill Clinton also congratulated the Australian Prime Minister, Little Johnny Howard, on his gun control efforts. So, why is the gun control agenda taking place in America right at this particular moment? Because Hillary knows she will not be back in office next year. And then the author of this email from Australia writes, expect another massacre shortly. Okay, folks, here's music. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Freedom of speech. News comes more.
And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been interference with human consciousness. Please tell others to check out the archive of this show, which should be posted by latest tomorrow on the Light of Day Radio Show.com. Okay, I just mentioned this book, Military Mind Control, by Colin A. Ross. I want to read something else that I have in regards to what this psychiatrist has stated. He's also the author of The CIA Doctors, and in that book he states that he pored over more than 15,000 documents he received from the nation's premier spy agency detailing the mind control operations which took place between 1950 and 1972 at many leading universities, including Harvard, Yale, Cornell, Johns Hopkins, and Stanford. So to all of you who are going to, you know, university medical centers like that, and you think that you're dealing with the best, yes, you're dealing with the best psychopaths on the face of the planet. And it's really quite amazing, actually, that they, you know, supplied him with this information. Of course, they only gave him documents going up to 1972. Obviously, the program is still going on, and we're seeing more and more examples of that all the time. Oh, by the way, the Colorado massacre happened on the year anniversary of the one that happened, where was it, in the Netherlands with the school children. You know, these monsters, they love to basically celebrate, you know, one heinous thing they've done with another heinous thing. Okay, this is what Colin E. Ross says in his book, The CIA Doctors. The experimental subjects were not told the real purpose of the experiments, did not give informed consent, were not afforded outside counsel, and received no meaningful follow-up. As described by the psychiatrists in published papers, experiments with LSD and other hallucinogens, combined with sensory deprivation, electroshock, and other interrogation techniques, resulted in psychosis and death, among other quote-unquote side effects. The purpose of these experiments was to see how easily a person could be put into a psychotic state or control. That's what you're paying your tax dollars for, people. Okay, it's amazing how fast the time goes. The last thing I want to mention is another article I received from George Fun of Conspiracy Cafe. I have not had time to vet this either, but George sends out very reliable stuff. This is dated July 25th, 2012. Colorado massacre linked to historic bank fraud. A highly disturbing Ministry of Finance report on the largest bank fraud in history that is circulating in the Kremlin today warns that it is within the realm of possibility that the shocking movie massacre in Colorado this past week is but another integral part in the deliberate plan put in place by Western banking elites and their allies to collapse the global economy. Interestingly, James Holm is extremely intelligent, you know, the shooter, a gifted scientist, and grew up in an affluent neighborhood, an eerily similar trait he shares with other noted American killers of the past few decades, including Andrew Cunanan, John Gardner, John Hinckley, you know, the guy that shot Reagan, Timothy McVeigh, Ted Kaczynski, Eric Harris, and Dylan Klebold. Most important to note is that James Holmes' father, Robert Holmes, was said to have been scheduled to testify within the next few weeks before a U.S. Senate panel on the largest bank fraud scandal in world history that is currently unfolding and threatens to destabilize and destroy the Western banking system. Robert Holmes, whose blue blood family links go back to the Mayflower, is known throughout the global banking community as being the creator of one of the most sophisticated computer algorithms ever developed, and is credited with developing predictive models for financial services, credit and fraud risk models, first and third party application fraud models, and internet online banking fraud models. He was educated at the University of California. Once again, this is the shooter's dad. And is currently the senior lead scientist with the American Credit Score Company, FICO, which was formerly known as Fair Isaac and Company, and which every American citizen is beholden to should they need to borrow money. The massive banking crime being investigated by the U.S. Senate is called the LIBOR scandal, where the U.K. banks fixed the London interbank borrowing rate with the complicity of the Bank of England, the U.S. Federal Reserve, which knew about this for over 4 years and didn't report it, and many other major Western banks. So you see, folks, isn't it interesting? Just as this guy's getting ready to testify in front of Congress, his son decides to become psychotic, actually had obviously been made into a Manchurian candidate, and shoot lots of people. And they actually showed him on the news getting on a plane to go visit his son. Apparently now he's got bigger things to worry about than testifying in front of Congress. Okay. Another interesting coincidence is, as the American intelligence website, the IntelHub.com, in their 23rd of July article titled, "Hallmarks of a False Flag, Colorado University Held Identical Drill on Same Day as Aurora Theater Mass Shooting, Mind Control, and Multiple Suspects." Now, you can't make this stuff up. Do we remember on 9/11, coincidentally, some agency was holding basically the exact same scenario that was actually going to happen in the form of a drill? Well, as it turns out, the same thing was happening in Colorado. Okay? Just mere hours before the shocking crime in the Aurora Theater was committed, the Rocky Vista University College of Osteopathic Medicine was holding an identical drill that simulated a shooter in a movie theater. Okay, it's right in our face, people. What are we going to do about it? I mean, I often wonder, like, what's it going to take? I know that it's probably going to take somebody in your family to be personally affected. Unfortunately, that seems to be how it goes. But let me assure you, when it happens to you, it's very hard to stand up after something like what these monsters do. Better to take care of business before it does happen to you. And then in this article, they also answer the question, why did Holmes go to the expense and trouble of raiding his apartment with an array of deadly explosives and then immediately tell police that the bombs were there? Okay, yes, as I said before, that's a little bit fishy. Given the fact that Holmes was a graduate student in neuroscience, where did he obtain the skills to create a maze of bombs so complex that it took the FBI 2 days to disarm them? According to experts, the intricacy of the bombs was reminiscent of war zones. How can Holmes have set all this up without help from an explosives expert? And I would add, or did he even set them up? Did some explosive expert set them up, bring them into the apartment, so that they could pretend that this guy had also done that as well? Okay. Despite police claiming every single indicator tells them the shooting was a lone wolf attack, numerous witnesses have described accomplices. And one of the main obvious situations with that is that the people in the theater report that there was some guy towards the front of the theater, his phone went off, he went out the back door that leads out to the parking lot, that's the door that the shooter had access to come in. Who was that guy? You know, they're trying to pretend it was the shooter. Now, give me a break. How long does it take to put on all that SWAT garment stuff? You know, he was loaded to the teeth with all kinds of different military SWAT-type clothing that he was wearing. How could he possibly have gone out in the parking lot and put that on and then gotten his guns? It's obvious to me that this guy showed up, he made the phone call to his handler, who let him in the back door, and that's how he came in, and then started to do what he did. As a matter of fact, there was also another eyewitness who added, from what we saw, he wasn't alone. He had someone with him, because the second can of tear gas didn't come from the side that the shooter was on. And you see what they did. When this all went down, the police moved in, they brought all the survivors into a parking lot, and I think they then, they took them off to some school or something, I forget where they took them, but, you know, basically they had to be debriefed, and you can be sure they were basically told that, you know, if they mentioned something like the fact that there was a can that came in from the other direction, or this whole thing with the guy that opened the front door, they would be told, no, that's not what happened, and you're not going to say that. You know, they have ways of letting people know that they're not allowed to say certain things. So, basically, that's pretty much it, folks. I know that it's very hard to face these things, but this is what's going on. Your mind is being messed with. No surprise, it's hard to think critically and logically. Let's do something to stop this, people, because as I always say, you're paying for it. All right, tune in tomorrow with my show from the UK, EastChangingTimesRadio.ning.com, where my guest will be, once again, J.B. Campbell. I know he's got his ideas about what we should do. Certainly, we have to do something. Thank you for listening. Be back next week. Bye-bye.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
See, the people of Japan are protesting.